I'm Mindy Todd. Welcome to The Point. General election just about a month away. Today we begin our series of debates with the candidates running for state representative in the 2nd Barnstable District. That consists of Barnstable Precincts 2 through 10 and Precinct 13 and Yarmouth Precincts 5 and 6. Our candidates are Will Crocker and Paul Cusack. Welcome to you both.
Cool, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Our listeners, our format is up to 2 minutes for opening and closing statements, also 2 minutes for responses and 1 minute if we need rebuttals. We determined who would go first before we went on the air. And Will Crocker, that is you. And we are going to start with opening statements.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mindy, first of all, and the staff to CAI and NAN for the opportunity. When I was first elected as the 2nd Barnstable State Rep, I ran on being the true local rep. I ran on being the hometown boy who wanted to be the open line to Beacon Hill. And I think I have been. Most people are very shocked to actually be able to get me on my cell phone on weekends because the number that you call is me and I will answer the phone. And the reason why is because I am your representative. My job is to represent you and my job is to vote for you. I don't vote my party. I don't vote like the governor wants me to vote. My personal likes and my personal dislikes are not what drives me. What drives me is the people of the 2nd Barnstable District. Because I believe government is personal, and it's my job to meet as many constituents as I can. My job is to be putting my community first and to serve that community loyally. I have a perfect voting record my first 2 years. 521 for 521, a record that is better than 80% of my colleagues in the House and Senate. I ran my 2016 campaign on issues like epidemics of homelessness and opiate addiction. And when I was elected, I really jumped right in. As a matter of fact, I started working on those issues before I was even sworn in. I work in a bipartisan manner to get the job done. I sought this job and I still seek this job because I love this job. It's important to get things done right, and I know how crippling it can be when the job is not done right. I've been given an incredible opportunity to serve everyone. I'm asking to be able to get that privilege again. This is our district. This is our home. I am your representative, and I would love to go back to Beacon Hill. Our job's not done. Our journey is not complete. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Paul Cusack.
Nice. Thanks, Mindy, for having me. Real excited to be here. This is my first time on the radio. Well, I guess not since high school, at least. Yeah, so I'm Paul Cusack, and I am also running for the state rep seat in the 2nd Barnstable. I'm a shell fisherman in Kituit and a former Army Ranger, did 4 combat tours in Afghanistan. I want to be of use to my neighbor. I've gotten the greatest personal and professional satisfaction from being in service. I want to do right by people who generally aren't used to having right be done by them. I think the Cape and the 2nd Barnstable in particular can be more prosperous, can be healthier, can be a more equitable place for people to have a career, to raise a family, to enjoy a retirement. And we're just not there as far as I can see. There's a lot of unmet needs. And so I am working hard to try to meet those. I've literally walked from one end of the Cape to the other. I took a bus out to P-Town and then walked the length of the Cape back. And I've knocked on a bunch of doors, thousands of doors. And people have been real clear with me. They want new and inclusive and bold leadership. Good enough simply is just not good enough anymore. Our neighbors, and I think Will would agree with me, they're hardworking. They're charitable. They're compassionate. They're curious. But our folks are not reaching their full potential, I don't think. When I was in the service, we swore never to leave a fallen comrade behind. I feel like we leave our fellow citizens behind all the time. And so, you know, there's too many folks addicted to opioids, unable to make a career here. Our environment, we're sort of treating very poorly. But we can change all this. And I think I can help lead that change as your state representative.
Thank you. All right. Next, before we get to specific issues, I wonder if you could share your background, what it is you think you bring to the table that makes you the best person for the job and probably
cool. Yeah. So I think for me, the experience in the service, being in Ranger Battalion for almost 5 years and doing those 4 combat tours really ends up having a distinct impression on your mind in that you find ways to work with unlike people. You put aside your differences and focus on mission accomplishment, and you actually capture the contributions of the greatest portion of your team towards mission success. And that is something that I would bring to this kind of work. I've noticed that people are responding to the fact that I'm action-oriented and that I am service-oriented and future-oriented and results-driven. And that, I think, overlays with the values and interests of the folks of the second Barnstable. And I think my experiences and skills are such that folks are just noticing that I could bring those to the state rep job.
Thank you. Will Crocker.
Well, for me, it's experience, but it's an experience of a different sort. First of all, as I said, I'm the hometown boy. My family moved here in 1632. So I'm a 19th generation Cape Codder, basically. My roots are here in Cape Cod. And I bring a lifetime of experience here. I grew up here. I went through the school system here. I'm also experienced in government. I served as a member of the Barnstable Town Council for 4 years before I moved to this job here. And I also served on a number of committees when I was a member of the Town Council, the Appointments Committee. I'm very rooted in my community. I served on the Board of Trustees of Cape Cod Community College. I served on the Board of Trustees of the Barnstable Historical Society. I am a deacon in my church, and I bring a lot of experience of a personal side and a lot of experience when it comes to helping the people of the Second Barnstable District. I have those contacts. I know who the officials are in Barnstable and Yarmouth, and I meet with them on a regular basis to hear what their concerns are, hear what their needs are, and work with them, sometimes in a bipartisan manner, to be able to get what they need, to get the what the town of Barnstable needs, what the town of Yarmouth needs. And that's what I bring to this. I bring to this the experience, the contacts, and the knowledge.
Thank you, Paul. You wanted a quick...
Yeah, I think what under sort of flows beneath what Representative Crocker is saying is a little bit along the lines of that I'm a Washershore and that he's the hometown Barnstable native. And to be quite frank with you, I find some elements of that a little bit offensive. I think it's great that you're proud of the fact that you and your family came here a long time ago and that you're in your 19th generation. But if you came here 400 years ago or if you came here 4 weeks ago, you're a full, true Cape Codder, in my opinion.
You want to add anything, Will?
Well, it's not meant in an offensive manner. I'm just showing that my roots are here and that I have the experience here. And I'm truly working in a bipartisan manner to be able to get things done.
All right, Will Crocker, we're going to start with you for this first question. Opioid-related deaths in Massachusetts have increased faster than the national average. And on the Cape, Barnstable County had the fourth highest overdose rate in 2017. Certainly a lot of people's attention focused on this issue. Are we doing enough?
No, we are never doing enough, but we have a good start. We have made progress in this. And I think you can first point to what Governor Baker's administration has done with this. One of the first things he got done was we're changing the way we prescribe opiates, the way doctors prescribe opiates. Now, if you go to the emergency room, you hurt your shoulder or something like that, you are given a very limited supply, basically a 3-day supply of painkillers. And the doctors will talk to you about pain management and whether or not you really do need this. Will Tylenol work for you? Will Advil work for you? So there's a way of speaking to the patient to be able to say, you know, maybe you don't need that opiate. And if you think you do, then you get a 3-day supply. If you want more, then you have to go to your PCP. You can no longer doctor shop here. So I think that's something that is positive influence there, a positive movement in trying to bend that curve. Massachusetts is trying to bend that curve, and the governor has said that we are beginning to do it statewide, but we do have a major problem in Barnstable and Yarmouth. And one of the things that I am working on is a permanent funding source for opiate prevention programs in school, K-12, because we need to spend the amount of time, talent, and treasure that we did 20 years ago or so with regard to tobacco. We need to spend on opiate prevention. This would be age-appropriate K-12, a permanent funding source that is not a fee, that is not a tax, that is not a budget line item. It is a voluntary donation that's been successful in 32 other cases to be able to fund opiate overdose programs in public schools and in nonprofits.
Thank you. Paul Cusack.
Oh, yeah. I liked a lot of what the representative said there. And I think it's great that we're highlighting this, Mindy, right at the top. You know, we lost 2,000 folks in the Commonwealth to the scourge of opioids last year. I'm a veteran, and I've got friends that I've seen struggle with this issue intimately, you know, and they're trying to treat physical and psychic pain. And I'm a first responder. I carry Narcan in my car. I switch it out every few months to make sure that it's updated. And I think it's great that we are trying to do many of the things that Representative Crocker has highlighted here. We have got to focus on treatment and rehabilitation and not on criminalization over solely on criminalization. There's irresponsible drug makers out there. And irresponsible doctors negligently over-prescribing stuff. And so I agree that those are a bunch of ways that we can help reduce the impact and the threat to our citizens and neighbors. But we're not getting to the overall underlying issues, right? People are out there treating physical and psychic pain. And there's no parity in our country right now between physical health and mental health. There is a stigma around mental health to this day. I've been involved in fighting the stigma in mental health for over 20 years, from my time in the 90s in the White House up to today, and we're still not making as much progress. There's underlying human conditions that I don't necessarily think that Representative Crocker's approach recognizes or deals with. If I get the opportunity to go up to the State House, this will be one of my top priorities, and I'll introduce legislation as soon as I can.
Thank you. You wanted a minute rebuttal. Go ahead.
Well, all I want to do is say that we have a problem here for sure, and it's going to take time to be able to work on that problem, to be able to get the people who are suffering from this tragic. When I made my maiden speech in the House of Representatives, I called this a horrible monster. Mm-hmm. It is a horrible monster. What really concerns me is the fact that it is going to take time. And those 5, 6, and 7-year-olds are going to be 7, 8, and 9-year-olds, and they're going to be exposed to this. They're going to see it in their schools. They're going to see it in their neighborhoods. And I want to make sure that they have the tools that they need, the education and the knowledge they need, so that they will make the proper choice and just stay away from this stuff.
All right. Thank you. Paul Cusack, we're going to start with you this time. In May, Senate President Stan Rosenberg stepped down after his husband was accused of sexual harassment in the State House. In light of the many recent stories of sexual harassment and assault, both in the workplace and outside of it, has the state legislature done enough to address the issue? And if not, what do you propose?
No. Yeah, I think it's pretty clear that we have a whole bunch of sexual assault and sexual harassment habits that have been within the workplace, as well as in our homes and schools and throughout our culture. And we are seeing it play out on the national scale, in particular the last week or two, in ways that I think folks hopefully will highlight it for them. What we saw, especially down in D.C. this week, I thought was unconscionable from some folks. I can understand that a senator who wants to wag his finger at America coming from a political position makes a lot of sense. But what I heard was a lot of barking and a lot of pushing people back into the shadows about legitimate concerns about their own physical, sexual health in the 21st century, and that it continues to happen. And we were seeing some power dynamics coming out right in our face, where the loudest, the folks who are going to dig their heels in the deepest, who are going to be the angriest, those voices, the siren song of those voices is going to draw folks in to be like, we're going to protect that person because they're so strident in their defense. What they're defending is legitimately eons of a power disparity between men and women that have led to situations in which women have been abused and manipulated, especially in a professional workplace for a long time. And we need to do more about it. And if I get to become state rep, I'll make sure that we do.
Thank you. Same question. Will Crocker.
Well, first of all, what's going on in Washington, I don't have a lot of influence on. But what I do have a lot of influence on is what goes on in the towns of Barnstable and Yarmouth. To that end, the Speaker of the House Robert DeLeo has made some great strides with regard to that. We have put together some with regard to how the House operates. We have new guidelines. We have brought in some new personnel, and they are going over basically how the House operates with regard to how the people in the House work with each other on a manner of that, and how men and women work together, and sometimes how they don't work together very well. So Speaker DeLeo has put together a task force to be able to work on that. We're bringing in new people. We're bringing in an ombudsman to be able to be the clearinghouse for these actions. So I think as far as the House is concerned, we're making strides there. Is there more we can do? Of course there is more we can do. But in terms of what's going on in Washington, I'm not one of the 100 people that's going to make any kind of decision down there as far as senators are concerned. I'm just basically concerned with what's going on in Barnstable and Yarmouth and working in a bipartisan manner in the House with Republicans and with Democrats to make sure that everyone is treated equally.
We are talking with Will Crocker and Paul Cusack, our candidates for the state representative in the 2nd Barnstable District. 866-999-4626 is our number if you would like to pose a question to the candidates. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. We ask that you pose the same question to both candidates. We'll have more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. It is the first of our general election debates. With us this morning, Will Crocker and Paul Cusack, who are running for state representative in the 2nd Barnstable District. If you have a question that you would like to pose to our two candidates, 866-999-4626, or you can shoot us an email, thepoint@capeandislands.org. Will Crocker, your turn to go first this time. Bourne and Sagamore bridges come under the purview of the American Army Corps of Engineers. Mm-hmm. But as we know, the bridges are a lifeline to the Cape and Islands. There has been a number of suggestions, including the state taking over management of the bridges. Good idea?
I think it's an idea that needs to be looked at, but I think overall what we need to do is, and we have already started doing this, is talking about replacing those bridges. They're almost 100 years old. They were built in the 1930s, and they just can't accommodate the traffic that goes over them now. The roadways are 10 feet across. Federal guidelines say they have to be 12 feet across. So they are just not capable of being able to accommodate the increasing traffic back and forth. We need to look at that, but as has been talked about before, we need to start talking, and we are already starting to talk about replacing them. As you say, the Army Corps of Engineers handles the bridge structures themselves. The state DOT handles the roads up to them. So we need to be able to work with the federal government, as I do in the House every single day, to be able to come up with some common sense solutions on this, to be able to come up with ways that we can manage the traffic to the bridges as they are now, but also keep in mind that we need to replace them.
Thank you. Paul Cusack.
Yeah. So to a certain extent, we're just having a hard time managing our popularity to a certain extent on the Cape. I agree with the state representative about a bunch of this. The white knuckle experience of being in one of the two center lanes going over our two bridges at this point in time is something that I think we all know intimately, and it just doesn't feel right. But infrastructure is a challenge, I think, up and down the entire Commonwealth. And I'm not necessarily seeing a great sense of leadership on infrastructure-related issues coming out of the State House or the governor's office, for that matter. The infrastructure issue of what we saw with the gas explosion in Merrimack Valley, that had been highlighted and discussed for a long period of time, and we never saw any action. I think what you've suggested here, Representative Crocker, is more talk and more study, and I think it's more time for more action. I think high-speed ferries, more trains, all those things need to be looked at as well and considered, but we actually need to take action. We haven't done anything on this front for a long period of time, and I'm not necessarily seeing the leadership on infrastructure across the board. Think about just our high-speed internet access penetration up and down the Cape. We're not drawing a knowledge worker set into this larger environment because we can't quite get the infrastructure pushed out to the deepest, furthest edges of this amazing peninsula. So should the state be more involved? And for sure. But is it time for more talk? No, it's time for action.
Do you want a rebuttal?
I think we are. We're already beginning those stages. We need to be, but we need to have something that is practical and something that will work. So we do need to study this. We do need to make sure that the plans that we have that are finally put in place are practical and will work.
All right, thank you. Let's talk to John, who's calling from Orleans. Good morning, John. What's your question for our candidates?
Good morning. I'd like to know if the candidate's stances on safety at Pilgrim Nuclear Plant, please.
All right, thank you. Paul Cusack, you're first.
Yeah, I think that Pilgrim needs to have been closed yesterday. I feel like they've been allowed to get out of any number of the procedures necessary to keep our community strong and safe over the last couple of years because of its trajectory towards being closed down. We made choices in the 70s in regards to how our energy was going to be produced, and we made a big bet. And I'm not enthusiastic about how that bet went for us. We are going to be, we can talk about zero carbon energy and all those benefits from nuclear, and that's great, but we are going to be dealing with $40,000 to $400,000 years worth of nuclear spent nuclear materials that we don't right now have a great plan. And there's a whole bunch of issues in environmental justice and sending it out to the West. And then there's the catastrophic storms that can happen here that could put everything being put in dry casks at risk on site. And so my position is that I do think that the bipartisan commission that has been helping with the shutdown procedures has kept the two entities, the owner Today Energy, as well as I think Holtec, who's going to be taking over, has been holding them to task. And all those groups, the downwinders and the other ones that have been really focused on corporate responsibility in this regard, I thank God that they've been involved in the process.
Thank you. Will Crocker.
I have to say, I have to agree with my opponent on this. I also agree. I've said it for a long time, and this is where I disagree with some of the members of my party. I think Pilgrim should have been shut down yesterday. It's a gamble. It was a gamble back in the 60s when nuclear power was considered to be at the forefront of being clean, affordable energy. It may be clean and it may be affordable, but there's our dangers associated with that. And we need to continue to keep the feet to the fire of the people who own that entity and the people who will own it in the future. I have concerns with regards to the dry cask storage. I have concerns with moving them, and that has also been considered, to moving them to a safer facility. How do you do that? How do you safely move those rods that will be will be dangerous for thousands and thousands of years? And we also have to deal with, if you leave them there, we have to deal with climate change and sea rise, the rising seas. Where that stands right now is a very dangerous and very susceptible to storms and to sea rise. And there are a lot of things that shutdown brings up a whole new set of different problems. And I think we just need to be able to do something bipartisan and, again, safely, so that the people who live in and around that area, including people here who live on Cape Cod, feel safe that something is going to be done that maintains that safety, even when the plant is offline.
All right, John, thanks for that phone call. 866-999-4626 if you have a question for the candidates. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Will Crocker, we start with you this time. Northeastern storms, not new, but last spring we saw 5, and the coastal erosion hit some areas really hard. Future storms predicted to be more intense, and with sea level on the rise, how do we prepare and improve coastal resiliency?
Well, I'm very happy to be able to say that I was able to get $200,000 for the Coastal Resiliency Center for the town of Barnstable, included in our budget that we just approved this past spring. And also in terms of the people, when you talk about those storms, it brings to mind the people of Blish Point out in Barnstable, which is not in the second Barnstable district, but is in an area that I'm very familiar with. They were basically an island for one of those storms. When the sea rose up and basically blocked off Commerce Road and blocked off Millway, the people who live in Blish Point were an island, and that water was going up quickly. They reached out to me and reached out to other members of the Cape delegation to be able to say, we need to do something about this. The culverts and the water flow in and out of the marsh there. Moraspin Creek has been choked off over the years, and we need to go in there and make sure that that those culverts are opened up, that the water flow, the flushing is much better than it is now. And I was able to secure $50,000 to start looking at coastal resiliency in that area. And also, as part of the Cape and Islands delegation, we've gotten more close to $1.5 million to be able to work on making sure that those storms do not affect those people like it did this past March.
Thank you. Paul Cusack, same question.
Yeah, this is great. Everything, I applaud the representative for the things that he's mentioned here in regards to coastal resiliency and the money that he got for Blish Point. It's interesting to me that that, though, is sort of the extent of your leadership in this regard, as also is something that you don't highlight, I don't feel like, enough. If I got the opportunity to go to the State House, I would put the protection of our air and water as the central organizing principle of my time in government. I'm wildly enthusiastic about Vineyard Wind coming to the region and the potential for us to really pursue a blue economy. I don't necessarily want to get to zero waste around here or zero carbon. I want to become the Cape and this region to become a net exporter of renewable energy. I think we can really do that. If we focus on things like biomimicry and matching up the blockchain with distributed generation, making every home on the Cape its own sort of power plant, we can get to a point that we are actually sending more out into the grid than we're consuming here locally. So I have been involved with the entire environmental effort in this nation since the late 90s. And I know we've made some gains, but if we don't make greater gains, we're really only going to be talking about resiliency in the face of really devastating storms in the future. We live on a peninsula thrust out into the Atlantic. It's a gorgeous, amazing place, but it's fragile. Our water resources make up our environment. Our environment makes up the economy. That whole nexus is at risk. And if I'm fortunate enough to go up to the State House, I will make that the central organizing principle of my time there.
Thank you. Let's talk to Kim calling from Centerville. Good morning, Kim.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. What's your question?
I was hoping the candidates could elaborate on their position for sanctuary cities and making Massachusetts a sanctuary state.
All right. Thank you. Paul Cusack, you go first.
Yeah, sure. I mean, sanctuary cities, this the word and state at this point in time are just highly, highly charged terms, Kim. And so I would like to put the conversation a little bit less in the fear factor zone and a little bit more into data. I spent an entire fall once walking the length or almost the length of the border between the United States and Mexico. I started just south of San Diego and walked to El Paso. I did 1,000 miles or so that fall. And my intent was really to go and see what lethal risks aspiring families would take to get to the promise of America. And I think it's really important that when we're talking about this entire subject, that we have a more compassionate an inclusive approach and a lot less fear. There's a bunch of great common sense immigration policy for those who are willing to work hard that can really expand the winner's circle here in America, and especially in the second Barnstable, in the streets of Hyannis and Yarmouth. We are seeing our local economy in great part is driven by folks who have come from all over the world. And I want to have a stance, a posture of welcoming when they come here. Instead, to a certain extent, the policies we've pursued have gotten folks pushed further back into a defensive crouch where they're doing things like not calling the police when they're getting when they're the victim of spousal abuse or skipping doctor's appointments because they don't want to write their name down on anything. That's not good.
Thank you, Will Crocker.
Well, I look at this as both a public safety issue and a social justice issue. First of all, we have to keep in mind that we are a nation of laws, and we can't just pick and choose which laws we will obey and not obey. If we do not like a law, then let's work together and change that law. It's part of the Constitution. It's what we can do, and it's what we have a moral obligation to be able to do. Clearly, yeah, we do need to work on immigration reform. There needs to be commonplace bipartisan work on this. And that's what I do at the State House every day, work with people who I disagree with. We need to start from what we agree with and not from what we don't agree with. We need to start from, I like to say, we need to start from yes and work our way out from there. There needs to be compromise. There needs to be work in that area. We need to work at this from a positive point of view. So in that regard, I would ask the congressional and the senatorial people, in Washington to do exactly what we try to do up at Beacon Hill and work in a bipartisan way. But we do have to make sure that we do have secure borders. We do need to make sure that drug dealers do not come across time after time after time, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But we also need to keep in mind the DACA people. I mean, those kids are here through no fault of their own, through no action of their own. They're here. They're stuck. They're basically on a social island. And we need to make sure that we come up with a practical solution to that. Again, those kids are there. They're suffering. And we need to come up with some sort of issue with that. So, again, this is a public safety issue. Yes, it's also a social justice issue that we all need to work on.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We are talking with the candidates running for state representative in the 2nd Barnstable District, Will Crocker and Paul Cusack. We'll talk more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. It is our first debate of the general election. And with us this morning are the state representative candidates for the 2nd Barnstable District, Will Crocker and Paul Cusack. 866-999-4626. So if you want to get a question in before we get up to closing statements, 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Will Crocker, we start with you this time. Massachusetts, known for strong laws on environmental protections. The Trump administration has been dismantling some federal regulations, like rolling back the Clean Power Plan and fuel efficiency standards. We have state standards for both. Thoughts on how and if we can keep environmental protections in place on a state level when the rules are changing on the federal level?
Again, it's a situation where I don't have a lot of influence in Washington, but we do have influence on Beacon Hill. And one of the things that I would love to be able to see pushed forward in Beacon Hill, and something that I will push forward, is something that I heard about maybe two or three years ago, and it's the blue economy. You talk about something that you can push forward and be something that is a leader in environmental work, the blue economy. We're surrounded by water, like you said. We need to use this more efficiently to drive our economy. We need to have some innovation here. And by innovation, I mean we need to develop and strengthen our existing innovative water-based businesses, ecotourism for one thing, and something that I know that Paul is very familiar with is using oysters. Thinking out of the box, you use the millions of oysters that we can put in West Bay and North Bay, and some of them are there already, to be able to clean up the pollutants, the nitrogen that's coming in there. We need to get financial support to these places. We need to get capital. We need to get small business loans so those companies that do exist here can thrive, can expand. And we need to get this as an educational component as well. I think we need to tie the blue economy into our schools. Again, a curriculum K-12 age appropriate. And we also need to tie that into our technical schools, boat building and all those technical jobs that have some sort of footprint in our economy and our environmental economy. We need to put that component in schools as well. I think the blue economy is something that could be a trailblazer. That's the word I'm looking for. Trailblazers as far as we go here on the Cape Cod.
Thank you. Paul,
yeah,
Cusack.
I concur with a lot of what Representative Crocker just said. There's a couple of things, though. I think the leadership at the House level this past summer failed the people of Cape Cod as well as the Commonwealth in regards to increasing things like the renewable portfolio standard. RPS is way under targeted. It needs to get closer to 3% or more, as well as the bonding that was done in this last legislative session. I really feel like we're not seeing the type of leadership for the type of state that we're in. You don't just lead just to be the first. You lead to be right on stuff like this. And it's great that you're talking, Will, about the blue economy. It's one of those things that we need to socialize folks to around here. and being down the street from HUI and MBL
exactly.
in particular, those are niche assets that we have that are global leaders in the monitoring, exploration of the ocean. We're at a stage now where it's clear to us that over a long period of time, human beings, primarily through industrial practices, has remixed the chemistry of our air and our water. And it's having profound effects and will continue to. And if we're not going to get national leadership, if we're going to get steps away from the direction that we were headed for a long time, then states do have to step up. Coastal states on the west side of our nation have done it, and we can over here as well. And I'm not seeing that sort of commitment to a vision about being something like a renewable energy exporter that I think that we really could become with the strength of our local population and how smart and hardworking we are.
Thank you. All right, let's talk to Jack, who's calling from Yarmouth. Good morning, Jack.
Yes, good morning. I have a simple question, but I think it's very important. I was wondering if the candidates could talk about their community involvement in the past and what they hope to do in the future.
Thank you. All right, Paul Cusack.
Yeah, so I have a favorite place that I volunteer at, the Cranberry Sunset Farm. It does extraordinary work on 28 in Marston's Mills with autistic student age folks who really need an opportunity to have their sensory system given a little bit of a jolt, and horses and horseback riding can give that. The Cranberry Sunset Farm is an extraordinary place, and the services are affordable, and they're really making direct impact on sort of behavioral changes in a youth population that has some serious challenges as well. And I do Big Brothers and really enjoy that experience. I had amazing parenting. I grew up in an extraordinary family and had a ton of really amazing inputs in my life that came from mentor type folks in my life. And that is not afforded to everybody. And it made a big impact on mine. And so I'm trying to have that impact on a student in Hyannis. And I hope that it's been mutually beneficial for both of us. And I think it has been. Those are two of the big ways that I participate. And then I'm an avid shell fisherman. I do it right now as a wage job. But it is something that I'm real passionate about, is recreational shell fishing, going for quahogs or towhogging, as it were. But right now I'm getting oysters. But those are the things that I'm involved with. Thanks, Jack.
Thank you. Will Crocker.
I wish I had more time to be able to do those kinds of things. But let me tell you some of the things that I am involved in. I am a member of the Hyannis Elks. And this gives me a chance to be able to say that coming up on Monday at from 11 to 3 in the afternoon, the Elks are going to have a drug awareness day. I'm involved in that. Just again, what I was talking about earlier, that we need to teach kids about drugs and how destructive they can be in their lives. So that I'm a member of the Elks Club. I am also a member of the Barnstable Blue Coats. And Barnstable Blue Coats is a group of people that raises money for the Barnstable Police Department. We recently made a huge donation, and over the years we've been able to donate over $300,000 to the Barnstable Police Department to help them with things like vests for not only themselves but for the police dogs, the canines as well. So those are a couple of things. I'm a member of St. Michael the Archangel Orthodox Church. I am an ordained subdeacon in the church, which I like to say is two steps down from being a priest, one step up from being an altar boy. I was a speech and debate coach at Barnstable High School and at Falmouth Academy and at Silver Lake Regional High School for 25 years. I was enshrined in the Massachusetts Speech and Debate Hall of Fame for my work. And I love working with kids. I always have. I love my work as a teacher. And those are some of the things. Like I said, I wish I had more time to be able to do more things, but that's what I'm involved in.
All right. Thank you. Will Crocker, we're going to start with you. Affording housing, a perennial issue. We've been talking about it for decades. Do you have any creative ideas to help tackle this issue?
Yeah. When I go head up to the State House. And as Mindy knows, I was in radio for many, many years. So I'm very used to being up very early in the morning and being to work at 3:45 in the morning. So I'm a morning person. I'm usually on the road headed up to Boston between 6 and 6:30. And I'm going over the Sagamore Bridge at around that time. And what you see going over the Sagamore Bridge, people going to Boston to go to work. But what you also see going over the Sagamore Bridge is people coming to Cape Cod. And in a Tuesday morning in February, let's say, they're not coming here to golf. They are coming here because they have jobs here, but they can't afford to live here. We have a major housing crisis problem here. I like to tell people we are land rich, but we are housing poor. And one of the things, a couple of things that I'd like to see happen with this is the towns kind of take a second look at how they've zoned their residential districts. I know the town of Barnstable has begun to do that. One of the things I like saying is just kind of flipping this on its head has to do with accessory apartments. Sometimes people call them in-law apartments. If you have a house, maybe a 2- or 3-bedroom house, and also an in-law apartment, and if you are aging out, here's a great idea. Why don't you move into the accessory apartment and allow that family that's coming over the bridge at 6:30 in the morning a chance to live, a chance to develop, a chance to get their roots in the community? You know, this is great. It can be lucrative for you. You've got income coming in. And you also have a place to stay. So, you know, those are some of the things that I think the towns need to look at rezoning and also kind of think, flip it on its head and move out of the big apartment and move into the little apartment. You've got guaranteed income and you've got a place to stay. And you're also allowing somebody else to start their roots here on Cape Cod.
Thank you, Paul Cusack.
Yeah, I think the issue is a little bit more about attainable housing than affordable housing. I like what you just highlighted there, Will, in regards to folks in the bridge. You know, about 14,000 folks leave the Cape every day and only about 4,000 come back on. And that has to do with this housing / jobs sort of issue. We've always talked on the Cape about jobs. We don't really talk about careers. And I think this is one of those places that we've sort of failed our local community. When we look at housing on the Cape, we've got a monoculture. It's 88% single family detached. And that's been great for 100 years. But the changes need to come in things like zoning in particular and density, where we already have pre-existing residential and commercial density. We need to consider doing things like going to the third story. Imagine what downtown Main Street in Hyannis could look like if we got to a place where there was greater mixed residential commercial retail. We could end up having a really vibrant community there along Main Street. It is vibrant now, but it could get better. It's all one big opportunity, I feel like. Accessory dwelling units are another great idea. We don't have a population in great numbers between 25 and 55 on the Cape. We have a population donut hole. And folks want to be able to age in place at one end of their experience, but they also want to raise a family in a village with access to great education and amazing amenities like our beaches and everything else that we have going on in the Cape. And so we got to focus on attainable housing and not necessarily affordable.
All right. So we can have enough time for closing statements.
Cool.
I'm going to a question from Barbara who emailed us, and I'll give you a minute to answer this one. Paul, we'll start with you. She says, we all know it's very expensive to run a campaign to public office. Where do you find most of your donations coming from?
Yeah. Barbara is raising a great question. I have had an amazing life experience. It has sent me to the far corners of the planet and a bunch of different places in the United States. I have a lot of friends out there who care a lot about me as well as about democracy and representative democracy and are really supportive of me running for office. So I have got a bunch of money that has come in to fuel this campaign that have come from sources outside Massachusetts, and I'm proud of it.
Thank you. Will Crocker, same question.
Well, let me say that 90% of my contributions come from this side of the bridge. There are people, and they are my donations are very small amounts. They average about $75. Again, it's a situation of developing those contacts over the years, talking to people, being part of the community, and meeting these people and trying to solve their problems, dealing with their concerns as the state representative. You build a relationship with those people, and that kind of relationship sometimes can translate into money and their support for me. So I'm very proud to say that 90% of my contributions come from this side of the bridge.
All right, we're going to go to closing statements now. And Will Crocker, it is your turn to go first.
I thought I was going second.
I'm happy to go first.
Go ahead.
This is a 5-week job interview at this point in time, Mindy. And I want folks to know that I hear a call, and it's a call to service. And it's a similar call to the one that I answered when I was chasing down with a team a bunch of very bad men in the mountains of the Hindu Kush or the dusty streets of Kandahar. I want folks to know that I believe my values are the community's values: pluralism, pragmatism, curiosity, civility, and a commitment to service. I think a lot of folks assume those are in short supply, especially when it comes to politicians. And that scorched earth tactics and toxic speech are the new norm. Well, I won't accept that. I didn't accept that when, you know, I didn't settle for less when I was in the Army. And I don't think folks should settle for less here on Cape Cod and in the second Barnstable. So I'm out to earn people's trust and then eventually their vote on November 6th.
Okay. Will Crocker.
Well, once again, Mindy, thank you for you and your staff here at CAINAN for the opportunity to be able to say things. When I was first elected to be the state representative for the second Barnstable, I pledged to be open, available, and responsive. And I believe I've accomplished that and then some. Open in the fact that I've never shied away from any tough votes that were needed to be taken. They're votes that may not have always been popular with everyone, but they are the votes that my constituents asked me to do. I am open to do the work with whomever wants to work with me just to get the job done. Available in that I hold regular office hours in both Barnstable and Yarmouth. I meet with officials in both the towns on a regular basis to discuss the issues, what they need. And I've knocked on nearly 7,000 doors since August. And I've been responsive. When the residents of Hyannis Park and South Yarmouth and West Yarmouth wanted to be heard regarding the Vineyard Wind Project and how it could negatively impact their community, I got them the ear of Environmental Affairs Secretary Matt Beaton and Governor Baker. So they got a chance to be able to get their position known to those people. I got a chance to be able to work with the state to be able to get $50,000 for the outreach coordinator for the town of Barnstable so that that person could get out into the homeless community and get those people the services they need. The Cape Symphony and the Cape Conservatory are going to take the first steps to be able to have a performing arts center that is going to be state of the art. And I'm happy to say that we got $200,000 for them to be able to start that. I have the local experience, the local contacts, and the local approval that makes me the best person for the job. I've already proven that I am the person to be able to get things done, and I will do so again in my second term. I ask for your support and your vote on November the 6th.
Thank you. Thank you both, Will Crocker and Paul Cusack. Thank you both for coming in and letting our listeners know where you stand on the issues. You can hear this again tonight at 7 p.m. We'll have this up on our website. If you missed any of it, capeandislands.org. Click onto our election page. Stay tuned. We have more debates coming up through the month leading up to Election Day. I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.